Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord comes from the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. The epistle reading comes from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the third and fourth chapters. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever taken children somewhere fantastic. Whether it's to a great water park or a playground with the best equipment or somewhere that had a really special Christmas light display. I mean, it's great, isn't it? Seeing the wonder on their faces, the joy as they try to take everything in, and just the sheer fun that they're having. It's fantastic. But then, have you ever been the one who had to say to them, "Okay, guys, let's get ready to go home."
No, not home. It's so great here. It's so much more fun. Come on, Dad, please, just 5 more minutes. Why can't we stay?
Well, today, we celebrate the Transfiguration of our Lord, that special day when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and revealed to them a glimpse of his full, heavenly, holy glory. The disciples got to see that glory, got to see Moses and Elijah, heroes of the faith, men of valor and courage and might. They saw this beautiful sight, and they wanted to hold on to it, to never let it go. Mark tells us that Peter makes the statement, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And we usually read it exactly like that, because we assume that Peter, being an apostle, always spoke in a very plain and pastoral and calm and collected and comforting kind of voice. But when Peter said, "It is good that we are here," what he meant was,
No, don't make us go home. It's so great here. It's so much more fun. Come on, Jesus, please, just 5 more minutes. Why can't we stay?
The disciples were overwhelmed with Christ's glory, and they wanted to stay on the mount, wanted to stay in that beauty and joy. Because here on the mount, things were much better than they were down below. Here, they saw Jesus' glory, his heavenly radiance. Here, they saw proof of the physical resurrection as Moses and Elijah, saints who died in the faith, now stand before them speaking with Jesus Christ. Here, they were surrounded by those who believed the truth and did not challenge what they said. But most importantly, here on the mount, standing in the glory of Jesus Christ, they didn't have to deal with the things that Jesus had told them were about to happen, because those things were unpleasant. Jesus had told them several times that he was going to suffer and die in Jerusalem, and they didn't want to think about that or deal with it. In Luke's recounting of the Transfiguration, we're told that this journey is exactly what Moses and Elijah and Jesus were talking about, his journey to Jerusalem to die. But here on the mount, it's just talk. Here, it didn't actually have to happen. The glory of the Transfiguration, the beauty, the majesty of that sight, it seemed like the best thing that these disciples could ever experience. It seemed like anything better than they could possibly have down there in the valley. And so they didn't want to go. They didn't want to walk away from that wonderful moment. It was good that they were there. And yet, they had to go. Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they had to leave the comfort and glory of the mount to go down to the pain and agony of the cross. They had work to do. Because you see, without the cross, the Transfiguration is actually useless. Without Jesus' sacrifice and forgiveness, without his blood-bought atonement, the disciples could not behold his glory at all. Because God's glory, it is perfection and it is holiness. As sinners, the disciples, you, me, we are not allowed to see that glory. We could not survive in its presence. We need the cross. Because without it, God's glory is unapproachable, unattainable. It's an impossibility for us. And so the cross was necessary. Otherwise, the transfiguration meant nothing. And besides, the transfiguration, that was just a foretaste, just a glimpse of the true glory of God. In fact, it wasn't even what his real glory looks like. As strange as it may seem, the real glory of God is seen in full at the cross. Now there, when we look at the cross, when we see Jesus hanging on Golgotha, we don't see earthly glory. We don't see miraculous displays of light. And so the world sees that as nothing. They see it as a gory mess, a humiliating loss. But as Jesus gave up his life for miserable sinners like us, that's the true glory of God. That's the full glory, a kind of glory that this world could never copy, will never even fully understand. The glory of Jesus Christ was his death on behalf of sinners like you and me. And of course, without coming down and going to the cross, without coming down and sharing the message of the cross, the transfiguration, it's useless to the entire world. You see, the transfiguration, that glimpse of God's glory, it was not just an event for these three select apostles, Peter, James, and John. It was meant for everyone, even those who would rather kill the disciples than hear of Jesus Christ's glory. And so they came down from the mountain to see the full glory of God in his crucifixion and his resurrection. They came down to tell the whole world about that glory so that others too would know. Well, we, as we gather here today, we are in the presence of God. We too get to see a glimpse of his glory as he comes to us in his word of forgiveness, as he speaks to us the words of eternal life that we can receive nowhere else. And we too, we wish to stay on the Mount of Jesus' glory. Because here in church, things are better than they are out there. Here we can speak freely of our faith without fear of being ridiculed. Here we can hear the truth of God's word without debate and contention, without somebody challenging it and saying, well, yes, but that's a faulty translation. Here we are surrounded by our brothers and sisters in Christ. Here, we too get a glimpse of heaven and God's glory in his word, in his sacraments, in the peace and the joy that he gives to us. Most importantly, here, we don't have to deal with the suffering and trials that Jesus has also told us are sure to come. We don't have to face our family and friends who don't believe or who have fallen away from the faith and wonder, should we tell them about Jesus? Should we just let them be? How will they react when we invite them to church? We don't have to deal with the day-to-day things like taxes or cleaning or stress at work. We can put all of that aside and just bask in the glory of Jesus Christ and know the love that he has for us. Here, we receive some much-needed rest from that constant barrage of the sinful attractions the devil and the world throw at us. We find shelter from the movies and TV shows that push society's immoral values down our throats. We get a break from all the lust-inducing ads and pop-ups. We get to briefly tune out the propaganda machine of our culture that tells us that we have to live in fear and trust only the experts. We can turn off the world's message of acquire, consume, spend money on yourself. Here, we can put all of that aside, not be assaulted by it, and hear instead the pure and loving word of our loving Heavenly Father. And so it is good that we are here. It is good to take that reprieve from the world, to be refreshed in God's holy word. But being renewed and built up, seeing God's glory firsthand, we must leave the comfort and the glory of the church to go out into this wicked and dark world. not to go back to lives of sin, not to set aside our Sunday selves and we be way less Christian the rest of the week, but to take our faith and to put it into action. Because just like Peter, James, and John, we too have work to do. We know the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has won for us. We know that God came to us in the flesh, humbling himself to be born of the Virgin Mary. We know that he walked among his sinful creation, teaching and proclaiming the good news. We know that he went to the cross to suffer and die in our place, to pay the penalty of our guilt and our transgression. We know that his death was the perfect sacrifice, the only blood good enough to atone for all the sins of the entire world. We know that he rose again victorious on that glorious Easter morning to give us the guarantee of everlasting life, to promise heaven to all those who look to him in faith. And we know that he will return again to carry us in his loving arms, to be in his eternal kingdom forever. We know all this, and we rejoice in this each and every day of our lives. We know it because God himself has told us, and we have no reason to doubt. But there's a whole world out there that doesn't know it. A world steeped in sin that doesn't think there's anything wrong with the way it's living. A world that is desperate for something to cure itself, but pushing away the one thing that it actually needs. There are people out there who have actually never heard the glorious message of God, of Jesus Christ, in its full truth. Not just in some far-off, deep, dark nation that we will never go to, but right here, in our own communities, even in our own families. There are people who only have this cartoonish idea of what the church says, who have never heard the full joy that you are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it is our duty and our joy to show them the glory of Jesus, to show his divine glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, to show his divine love shown to us at Golgotha, to show his divine victory at the empty tomb, and his divine power in each of our lives every single day. And no, it is not always pleasant work, and it's not as comfortable as basking in Christ's glory here in the church. But it is such important work. And it is work that we do not do by our own strength. It is work that God does through us. He is with us every moment, speaking through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, using flawed vessels like us to carry the good news of Jesus Christ into this world. His divine glory and radiance reflects in our earthly lives, bringing his light into the lives of all those around us. Peter, James, and John, they were overwhelmed when they saw Jesus' glory on the mountain. They wanted to stay, wanted to turn away from the pain and suffering that they knew was in store for them. They knew that it was good to be there, and so they didn't want to let it go. But Jesus knew the importance of the work that he had to do and the work that they had to do as well. And so, empowered by the Holy Spirit, walking with Jesus Christ, they left that mountaintop and went back to the hard, often unpleasant work that God had laid out for them to do. The transfiguration was over, and it would not happen again. But they had been strengthened by it. They had been prepared for what was ahead, and so they went. We too would like to turn from the pain and suffering of the world around us and just hide out here in the safety and comfort of the church. But we too have work to do. We can't stay on the mount, but we know that as we leave, Jesus comes with us just as much as he came with Peter, James, and John. And unlike them, we can come back anytime we want, can gather together again in the presence of Jesus Christ, bask in his glory, revel in his word, in his true body and blood given to us at this altar. And when we do, we can bring others, that they too can see the glory of Jesus Christ, that they too can hear that glorious proclamation of the good news of the gospel, that by the agonizing cross of Jesus Christ alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.